face in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way and a pickup up my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, cause every single week another win for me.
Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standings. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest is...
Welcome to another edition of the Great Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Bubba Entrekin from the fantasysportsdegens.com. Bubba's a good friend of mine. I've gotten to know him fairly well over the last couple of years as he has been a participant in the BARF League, which is the Bay Area Roto Fantasy League. That'll be drafting here next weekend, so that'll be a lot of fun as well. And it was good to kind of sit down, catch up with him. I was just on his show, so you can go check that out, Benched with Bubba. What do we got going on right now in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational? Signups have just ended. I think as of this interview yesterday was the last day of signups. We have over 300 people who should be participating this year. It's either going to be 21 or 22 leagues. I've been kind of toying with how many extra participants I'm going to allow in. The Invitational Satellite Leagues are all filled up, so I appreciate everybody who donated money and left five-star reviews for this podcast in order to get in there. It was very successful. We raised over $2,000 for Fantasy Cares, which is an organization run by Scott Fish that donates money, or actually gets money donations, and then uses that money to go buy toys and kind of donates those toys for Toys for Tots. Last year, I think they raised over $40,000 and donated toys bought by that money. It's a pretty amazing organization, and it's all done by people who play fantasy sports or in the fantasy sports industry. And so it's pretty cool to see people who play fantasy sports kind of come together to do something pretty awesome. And I appreciate everybody who donated to that cause. If you feel like you want to donate to that cause, you can. TheGreatFantasyInvitational@gmail.com. You can PayPal that and just, you know, put a little note in it that says Fantasy Cares, and I'll make sure Scott gets that. It's been pretty overwhelming, the response. So thanks again to everybody. A lot of great stuff coming up here in the next few weeks. We're gonna have more interviews like this one where we're kind of getting to know some people in the fantasy industry, including we're gonna go behind the beard next week. So Joe Pizzapia came on last week. We had a great conversation with him. And now he's going to turn the tables on me. So next week, Joe is going to be the host of this show, and he's going to kind of ask me questions, and people are going to get to know me a little bit better. I don't know how I feel about that yet, but there was a pretty overwhelming response on social media in terms of wanting to hear my story and kind of how I've gotten into the fantasy industry and so on and so forth. So we'll definitely do that next week, and we're going to get back to some analysis podcasts, and hopefully everybody's liking the Beat the Shift pod with Ariel and Reuven, because those have been a lot of fun to do with those guys. Let's go ahead and jump in and talk with Bubba right after this. The 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide, The Fantasy Benefit, is the largest and most complete fantasy draft guide on the market. With featured writers from Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Baseball HQ, Baseball Prospectus, and Fangraphs, and many more, you will get tons of information on how to start your own league, draft strategies for roto, points, categories, NFBC, best ball, and DFS. There are tiers for every position, and 30 team previews, including 30 team prospect previews, breaking down the top prospects from each team. There are ranks for every position, for prospects, for first-year player drafts. This is the most in-depth guide that fantasy baseball has to offer. And not only that, we'll be updating it all draft season in the ebook and PDF. You can get this on Amazon.com in ebook form for $7.50 or in paperback for $13.99. Don't want an ebook? Don't want a paperback? Just want a PDF? You can order it by emailing friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com, and I will send you an updated copy every week until the start of opening day. Get your 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit today. Joining me now is Bubba Entrekin from The Fantasy Sports Degen. Bubba, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Always fun sitting down and chatting with you.
Yep, it's I feel like I just spoke to you.
It's weird. It's weird. It does feel like we have like a common, we spent some time together recently. It's weird.
For those who don't know and don't follow Bubba on Twitter, you can do that at KC Bubba. And when you do that, you'll see that I was just a guest on his show. I literally said, yeah, I'll come on your show. Hey, afterwards, you want to do 15, 30 minutes, something like that with me? And we'll kind of just go back to back. And Bubba was graciously not only to accommodate my crazy, insane schedule, but come on this show as well. So thank you for doing that.
Of course, anytime. Always good chatting. Like I said, always good.
Well, Bubba, why don't you talk a little bit about, we'll start with your website and kind of what you do within the fantasy industry, because I know like on your show you call me the busiest man in fantasy, and while I am super busy, you do a lot of different things that I don't do, including covering sports that I couldn't even fathom covering. So talk a little bit about your site.
Yeah, it's called fantasysportsdegens.com, and it's a lot of fun. It's gone through waves of writers and contributors, but for the most part, there's a group of us that have been doing it for over 3 years now, and baseball's always been my passion. So I cover fantasy baseball. I cover a lot of DFS baseball. I have a MLB DFS Quick Hits podcast that goes Monday through Friday during the regular season. We also have an always pressing PGA DFS podcast. I'm pretty sure that's what Mason was referencing there. Myself and a co-host, Jesse, we do every golf tournament recorded on Monday nights and preview the DraftKings slate there. I love golf. It is a massive hobby of mine. It's second to baseball for me, so big fan of that. We cover football. I have a 2-point conversion NFL DFS podcast for football. We cover that. I have another baseball podcast with Boston Mo on Twitter, Around the Bases Pod. Getting more into writing this year. We're trying to get more writing content on the site because we do a lot of videos, a lot of podcasting, and we're trying to get more and more of that. I have some basketball contributors, some hockey contributors, just a little bit of everything. And the one thing you can count on is 4 to 5 at least podcasts a week of content to keep you going. And again, like I said, trying to get more on the written content side moving forward.
Well, talk to me a little bit about what it's like doing multiple sports, because like I do football and baseball. I'm mostly known for my baseball work, though. I've always found that a little bit funny, considering I played high school and college football, and I did not play baseball. I mean, outside of, I think, what it was, T-ball, or, well, Little League and things like that. What's it like covering so many sports? Because especially football and baseball, they kind of have different seasons, though there's an overlap for, a couple months. But then you add in things like golf, and that's a sport that goes around the year for the most part. Like, how do you balance all of that?
It's tricky. It's called, as you obviously know, having a wife that's understanding. Mm-hmm. It does have moments, and it's tough because when you're covering so many things, you have to really schedule things out. Like, I'm a very planned. I try to schedule things out in advance to really organize it the best I can. I guess that's the best way I can say it. And when it comes to actually paying attention to these things, the invention called the iPhone is tremendous because you can just check on things that way. I try to watch as many highlight shows as I can. I check things online. One thing that's great about golf is it's during the middle of the day and it's only 4 days a week, where baseball we get a lot at night. And obviously there's day games, but a lot of it's at night. And that's a big, different time frames. You can focus on things. But the golf part's fun because you can kind of sit down and analyze it in a few hours is wrong, but it's not as much of a daily grind per se as baseball is, at least for me. I know other people do it way more in depth than I do. But that's basically the way I can say it. Like, when football's going on at the same time, it just gets – like, I get drained. I really get drained. And there's times when I wonder, why do I even cover football? And it's because I love it, and I love the daily fantasy impact of it. I love everything about it. Like you said, you played it. I played it. Like, you love football. But to me, baseball is my passion, followed by golf. And they're literally towards the end of every football season so far since I've started doing this – I start telling myself, why am I even doing this right now? And then next thing you know, I didn't do it this year for the first time. I was looking, scrambling, trying to get a Super Bowl preview podcast put together because that's what we do. But yeah, that's the best way I can sum it up.
Yeah, there was no more relief feeling for me when I wrote my last article for my Super Bowl preview for Fantasy Alarm for football for the year, because I mean, I love football. Like I said, I played it growing up. It was really my sport. I've always found it interesting that I've become known as a baseball guy because I know so much more about football, I think. But at the same time, it's like a relief to be done with it, and like, oh, I can concentrate on one sport, but you can't even concentrate on one sport. So like, I'm always in awe of people like you, people like Vlad Sedler, who like, covers football, baseball, and basketball. Lots of other guys in the industry and women in the industry who cover, two or three or four sports. It just, I don't know how they handle all of it at the same time.
It's not easy. I'll tell you that it's not easy at all.
What's it like running your own site? Because the majority of people come on here, they're working for another company. They're working, for RotoWire. They're working for Fangraphs. They don't have to worry about like the day-to-day operations of being an upstart, of being an independent site, being in charge of other people. What's the process like that?
It's like there's a lot of pros and a lot of cons, as you'd expect. The pros is it's awesome because it's like your baby. Like you started it, you get to take it the direction you want to go in. And I have other you have a job, I have a job, we do things full time elsewhere. But what we love to do is talk sports. We love to watch sports. We love to analyze sports. And growing up, I always thought it'd be fun to, broadcast baseball. Like we see Kroop and Kipe on the Giants. That's like a passion of mine. Like I would be a dream job. You used to watch Stuart Scott on SportsCenter, Scott Van Pelt. That's a dream job. This is as close as a guy like myself is going to get to it for the time being. And being able to put a website out there, being able to meet guys like yourself. Guys and gals, like you said, there's so many great people in this industry. And it's all because of putting a website together and starting from the ground up. And it's been great. The guys that I do with my on my shows, like my golf show, I mentioned Jesse, he's a really good friend of mine now. Like we text all the time, and it's through stuff like this. And being able to take it different directions, different shows, different formatting, kind of like I said, molding it the way you want it is really awesome. Some of the downsides to it is it can be grinding because when you think your stuff's done and you get to go spend time with your wife or your friends, well, and then you get an email of, hey, can you edit this? Hey, can you that? And it's like you got to balance these things. And as much as you're running your site and as I do, traffic is king and you need to get that stuff out as quickly as possible, you also got to be able to put your phone down and go and do things with your family. It's a really fine balance and it's tough. And I'd say that's the biggest downside is when you're on a small deal, trying to do as much as by yourself is very difficult. And also, as people don't understand, when you're running a free a product, is it's tough to get constant content to keep your website growing, to keep it going, because a lot of people are out there trying to make a buck. And I get it, I respect it. Like, who wouldn't want to get paid for their time? At the same time, there's a ton of like free content out there, and it's tough to just get people to hand you money to pay people. So it's kind of the yin and the yang of the situation. Like I absolutely love it. I wouldn't give it up, as people can tell by the amount of podcasts I do and other things. It's just you it's a balancing act that's tough at times, and other times it's amazing.
Well, and I think what one of the things you just kind of alluded to is, your site is a lot like Friends of Fantasy Benefits in the concept that it's not a subscription-based site. Like, people go on it and they can access different things without having to pay money for it. And so, with that comes other pitfalls. Like you said, it's hard to maintain a revenue stream.
Definitely. It's one like I've had good sponsors at times, but it's like you use promo codes and after a while everyone's used that code, so that one's gone. And then you try other ones and they just don't hit because you're a smaller site, so the RotoWires of the world have used this promo code for 3 months and it's like, well, okay, I'm sorry. Like I enjoy what I do, but I'm pretty positive people have heard about it somewhere else before they've heard about it from me. So it's tricky and it's kind of you have to stop and sit sometimes and go. And I know I don't know, but I'm assuming you've been there where you're like, is this really what I want to keep doing? And like I love it, and that's why I do it. But there are nights where I'm just like, you know what, I need to just step away for a few minutes because it's supposed to be a fun hobby that you'd hope to hopefully turn into a career. Like you are turning it into a career, and you're doing a great job with it. And that's something that some days I would like to have that opportunity to make that decision. I'm just not there right now. So there's days where it's tough, but every morning I wake up, I do it again. And, you know, I look at my calendar, like days like today is, hey, I get to interview Justin Mason, which he's a good friend and he's just fun to talk to. And that gets you going again, because when I turn the mic on and I hit record, I love it. I can sit and talk sports for hours. So it's those little moments that really keep it going.
Well, and I think one of the things that you kind of mentioned there is you benefit from the other people that you know in the industry and the friends that you make in the industry. And I know personally I have benefited from relationships. And I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the best fantasy analyst in the world, because I think that would be a complete crock of shit. But I think what I've done really well is kind of grown and maintained some relationships. Guys like Laura Michaels, Howard Bender, Paul Sporer have all really gone to bat for me and really propped me up and given me opportunities that not a lot of people get in the industry. And without them, I wouldn't be where I'm at and, you know, be getting close to this being just my only full-time job, because, you know, you and I both have to put in a 9-to-5 and then we do all this stuff. And I think some people, I remember I got into an argument with some guy when I was, you know, kind of advertising that Friends of Fantasy Benefits was looking for contributors. And he got all up kind of in my business and like, well, you can't like not pay people. That's like just not okay. And it's like, dude, I'm not making money off of this. Like, how am I?
Exactly.
I make my money off of working for Fangraphs and working for Fantasy Alarm. And, you know, when I was, you know, working for FNTSY and stuff like that, like Friends with Fantasy Benefits, and I'm sure for you, your site, it's a passion project. We do it because we love it, not because we think it's going to pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I pay for the podcasting host. I pay for the websites out of my own pocket because I love doing it. Like, that's what it is. I'm not making a dime off of this thing. Like, it would be awesome. I know you know what I'm talking about, but it's not where it is. It's a passion project. And you said it. It's, you know, the connections are out there, and there's so many good people out there. And that's what I love about, you know, you have your Friends of Fantasy Benefits, and you've expanded to over 50 contributors now. And a lot of those guys are really, really talented people that people don't know about, because just there's so many sites out there because of, you know, they're not the big name followings or whatever. And through TGFBI and other things you've done, and I know this is your show, so I won't try to ramrod it here, but it's stuff like that that's huge, because like, I'll laugh. Like, we're not full of ourselves, but there's times where, you know, you're right about stuff. And I laugh because you'll listen to other bigger names like the RotoWires, the Fangraphs, all the really good guys, and they'll say something. And you're like, well, I just said that 3 days ago. But no one knows about it. And I know you've been there, so you can't tell me I'm wrong. That you're sitting there going, what makes their opinion better than mine? And that's not what I'm trying to. Like, I'm not trying to downplay them. But there's so many talented people out there. And by stuff you've done and making connections for others, it's been a big, big help to help all of us continue to grow in this industry and the industry to grow as a whole. So that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a ton of amazing people in the industry. It's like one of the cool things, and if you ever get a chance to go down to like First Pitch, if you ever get a chance to go out to Tout Wars and just hang out, like getting to meet the people in the industry, one of the reasons I kind of set up this podcast to be this format is because, you know, I kind of want to showcase there are great people in the industry that some people think they know because they've been listening to them or reading their stuff, and some people that they don't know, you know, because they just never been exposed to them. And I think that's what this podcast is all about. What's next for your site? Like, you guys got anything cool coming down the pike?
What's next? I guess the biggest thing would be like, I'm really trying to make a conservative effort to write more. I don't know if that's a good thing for everybody, but it's good for me. Like, I'm going to get better as I keep doing it. Any exciting things, you know, not off the top of my head, where my goal is to get back to more another sport, UFC content. I used to do a podcast for every show on that as well. And I cut that one out as I needed time to regroup, but I love that as more of a kind of hobby thing. But just, you know, new things to me, my goal is to just make what we have bigger and better and always more consistent. That's kind of what we're at right now. Is I'm back to 2 podcasts a week for Bench with Bubba. I have some really awesome guests lined up, but I also, it comes back to what we just said. I enjoy getting first timers on the show. I really enjoy it because I was there at one time. I remember you had me on your show a long, long time ago, and that was awesome because as a new guy in the industry, you don't get asked to be on shows. And I've had so many people after, you could tell they were nervous when they started out, and it's always entertaining because we've all been there. And by the end of it, we finish up and they say thank you because it's the first time they were on a show. And it's really cool to be able to give people that opportunity, because it helps a ton just in everything you do. If you're going to become a podcast host, if you're going to become more of a writer in the industry, because you need to realize that a lot of these bigger guys I finally got to know because they're really not big and scary. They're actually really nice people that you just need to go out and talk to them. And by, you know, starting like me, maybe that helps them go and branch out to guys like you, to help you to go branch out to the Pauls of the world, to the Derek Van Ripers that are all very receptive to people, but you just have to have the confidence to go do it. And it's that's kind of where we're going. I enjoy, and it's kind of what you're doing with this podcast, is you're giving people a voice, and that's kind of the fun part of it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I try to stress to people is, like, don't be afraid to ask. Like, it's not, like, the worst someone can say if you want them to come on your podcast is no. Like, that's exactly the worst. You know, and you'll get no's here and there, like, you know, hey, I don't do that, or they'll give you some crap about, like, oh, I've got to check with my boss or something like that, and then you never hear back from them. Like, that's like the worst thing you're gonna have happen to you. But, like, I remember when, you know, we're in episode, like, 5. I think I just posted 515 of Friends of Fantasy Benefits, baseball podcast. So, I remember, like, episode 8, we had Jason Collette on. And, like, I was, like, in awe of Jason. And, like, but he was willing to come on. He'd never heard of me. He'd never heard of our site or our podcast. And he said, yeah, no, you know, as long as you can accommodate my schedule. He goes, I'm happy to come on. And there's a lot of guys in the industry like that, like you mentioned, like Paul, myself, Jason, Derek has, you know, come on shows for me, and Clay, and a lot of the guys at RotoWire and Baseball HQ and in Baseball Perspectives, Mike Gianella, you know, I mean, these are guys that are big names within the industry, but willing to take, you know, an hour out of their week to, you know, help someone out, because I think they were where we were at one point, and they're willing to kind of give back, which is a pretty cool aspect of this industry.
Definitely.
Let's talk a little bit more about you. When did you start following baseball?
I have followed baseball since I can remember. My mom's favorite picture at my house, or at her house, is me in Candlestick Park with a hat that was like 4 sizes too big sitting in the bleachers. I've enjoyed baseball forever. I've played it since T-ball. I stopped mid high school because I had to grow up and get a job because I realized this wasn't going to be a profession full time. But I played all throughout the days, played all stars. I absolutely love baseball. I used to scorekeep for the Little League in high school when I was young, like, you know, 10, 12 years old. I've been doing baseball for as long as I can remember.
Okay, so when did you start playing fantasy baseball?
I think I started playing fantasy baseball was middle of high school, like I guess maybe junior year of high school. So that was just kind of a playing around with a bunch of us that didn't know what we were doing. But I got more serious and started getting, you know, more consistent groups in college. There's still a group of us that have played for the better part of 15 years now. So that's kind of where it really started taking off, was in college.
Okay. What made you want to get into the industry? Because, like, you know, it's one thing to kind of listen to people playing, you know, or talk about fantasy, and you're, you know, going, okay, well, I knew that already, or, oh, I, you know, I could do this. And then there's another thing to kind of, like, kind of turn it around and go, no, I'm going to actually give this a shot.
It was kind of I don't know if it was like happenstance, because originally when Fantasy Sports Degens started out, it was thesportsdegens.com. Some issues happened. I had to rename it, and it worked out. But initially, we were like a sports information deal and with a fantasy twist. And then all of a sudden, when I started doing podcasts, because I just wanted the whole idea was just to talk sports. It was Benched with Bubba. It was my show where I could talk about whatever I want. If I wanted to talk about, you know, barbecuing steaks, I could talk about barbecuing steaks. But it was always around sports. And the more I did it, the more people I got in contact with, it was more of the fantasy community, because it is a great community. We've said it many times already. And I started going way more focused on fantasy sports. So I've been doing fantasy sports specifically for a little over 3 years now. And since I've done it, it's just the more people I've met, the more I've enjoyed it. And I'm glad I decided to go that direction, because – you know, you watch guys like Eno, they have the best of both worlds. They cover sports and they get to do fantasy. I don't think I could do both, and I think I picked the one I enjoy much more, which is fantasy sports.
What's the dream? Like, if you could do whatever you wanted in terms of, you know, making this into a career, or if, you know, this is just like a supplement to your, you know, your own income, like, what's the dream down the road? Like, do you want to be an analyst for the Giants? Do you want to, you know, if you could take this any direction you want, what would it be?
Well, yeah, the dream job would be to work. Like I said, Eno's got the best job to me, because he gets to cover all the sports. He gets to go to all the A's and Giants games. He gets to go to all the meetings. He gets to meet everybody, talk to everybody, interview people, do it all. Plus, he gets to do fantasy. Like, he gets all the aspects of it. I don't think I'll ever be an Eno Sarish, but yeah, I would like to say work for a team, but I think what I'd really like to do is work for a really like prestigious website, if I couldn't do a team, and have a show that I could do. I would love the idea of doing radio every day. I know people, you hear the horror stories of how hard it is to do 3 hours every day. But I think even just an hour a day or something, I think radio would be an absolute blast, along with the other stuff that entails of being, you know, a guy of that caliber, where you have to do, you know, articles and other stuff. But if I could do a full-time job on a big-time platform like that, I think that would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I think I've done radio, though I don't know if a daily radio seems like it would be difficult to do, to continuously come up with content for 3-4 hours a day. That being said, I do like 3-hour podcasts with Paul.
Times, yeah, and you guys are pretty good at it.
Well, I think that's largely to do with Paul. Like I don't know that I could come up with 3 hours of content by myself. Like the guys in the industry that do like the solo radio gigs, my hat's off to guys like Howard Bender and Craig Mish and you know, Ray Flowers. Like, those guys, like, they can kind of hold, you know, an audience's attention by themselves, and a lot of times they work with other people, but that's a long time to just be talking to yourself.
Definitely is. Definitely tough.
Any advice to people getting into the industry? Like, I mean, you have done this yourself. You have kind of come up, and I think you don't give yourself enough credit on the impact you're making. I think people know who you are, and you're one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, especially for, like, baseball DFS stuff. But, like, if someone were kind of like, okay, I want to try to do this. If this Bubba guy can do it, I can do it. And if you wanted to give them a piece of advice, what would you say?
I basically say is, if you're going to do it, fully commit, because it is a major grind. It's not just, you know, saying, hey, I know sports, which a lot of it is, but there's a lot more to, like, a lot more dedication, a lot more time than people think. That would be one thing. And then the other big piece we've many times is, don't be scared to talk to people. Don't be scared to give your opinion and be wrong. Like, you are going to be wrong. Like, we talked about it on my show. People remember when you're wrong, and they're going to remind you a lot. They're not going to remind you when you're right. And you got to have that thick skin to put up with that. But that's what separates the good from the bad analysts out there, is they're willing to keep putting their toes on the line. And that's one thing I love about you, Justin, is every year you are not afraid to make those, like, bold calls, and you stick by it regardless. And a lot of guys don't do that. They think they just kind of like push it off like it never happened and they move on. Don't be scared to go out on a limb and do stuff like that.
Well, Bubba, thank you so much for joining me. Why don't you remind people where you can reach on social media, and then plug everything you do.
All right. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, Casey Bubba. Go to fantasysportsdegens.com. It's a work in progress, as we, like I said, we had to rebuild it, and it's getting there. I like it a lot, and more and more coming down the pipeline there. My baby is Benched with Bubba. Just finished episode 141 with Justin. It's on all formats. All my podcasts are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, pretty much anywhere you can find them. Go search them. They're there. I do Around the Base with Bubba and Mo once a week, talking just regular baseball with a little fantasy also. I got my golf podcast, Always Pressing PGA DFS, and so much more going on over there. But just follow me on Twitter, and don't be afraid to interact. If I ignore you, it's not because I'm ignoring you on purpose. It's because I'm actually half the time I'm recording or doing something else, so it's not on purpose. But I will interact with you. So it's a lot of fun. Justin, thanks for having me, man. You are a true friend, and it's been awesome getting to know you. You've helped me a ton in this, and it's fun watching you continue to grow. I'm one of your biggest fans out there, so thanks a lot.
Well, that's going to do it for another episode of the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational Podcast. Again, I'm Justin Mason. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. You can email me or the show, thegreatfantasyinvitational@gmail.com. Got to give a big thanks for Bubba for coming on, as well as a big thanks to Kenneth Cashman over at rotoware.com, who helped supply our intro and outro music. I keep forgetting in the last few episodes to give him a shout out. RotoWare does great work, but Kenneth was also very nice and willing to give me this intro outro music for this pod, so really appreciate him doing that. Go get your Friends of Fantasy Benefits draft guide. There was an ad for it earlier in the show, so hopefully you go over to Amazon and purchase it, or hit me up over at justinmasonfantasy@gmail.com if you want the PDF form. Really helps us out. Gotten a lot of great feedback on it so far, so please go get one before your drafts. That will wrap us up for this episode. For Bubba and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. First place in my league, got a blockbuster on my way, and a pickup up my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, cause every single week another win for me. Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standing. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest is a playoff bye. Make amazing finds off the waiver wire. All day and night, better stay retired. See me in first, all proud and cozy. Bro, please, I can't even count my trophies. Bragging, even with my bats are slumping, I'ma pack a punch, that tracker junkie. I'm the one that don't wanna play. First place in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way, and a pickup up my sleeve. They call my team insane. Say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game.